New Testament scripture is taken again from the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 6 of Matthew. The first part of Matthew 6 dealt with the idea of giving, prayer, and fasting. We actually spent 2 weeks on that, 1 week specifically on the Lord's Prayer. The second part has three components to it as well, and we'll be looking at those. There are really three parts of an illustration. We'll be looking at those this morning, and then the conclusion of it again next week, Lord willing, is the plan. But as we come off of that from last 2 weeks, the idea of our giving and how we are instructed to give, instructed to pray, and then also the idea of fasting and those special times of need of the Lord, we are brought into Jesus brings us into a question of what does faithful discipleship really look like? He's given us things to do, but that's not the essence of what our discipleship, our faithful discipleship should look like. And that's what we have today. And it is that mind that is dominated it is what dominates both our heart and our mind, our thinking and our doing in our lives. So let's hear God's word from Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 19, reading through 24. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. As we hear God's word, we're reminded of his instructions to us to hear his word and to abide by them. And so we pray as David again did in Psalm 119, teach us, O Lord, your way of your statutes, that we might observe them till the end. Amen. When we look at this concept and this question that I lay out for you, what dominates your heart and your mind? What is it that controls your life as you live your life for the Lord? What is there before you? Or another way of phrasing it is the way Jesus really did the first of this. Where is your treasure? What do you treasure in this life? What is valuable to you? You know, Jesus gives us kind of a contrast here. He says there are a lot of treasures here in this world, a lot of different types of treasures in this world. And he doesn't say there's anything wrong with them. Matter of fact, Jesus is not telling us that we should not have possessions. That's not what he's saying. Neither is he saying that we should not save for the future. After all, we have Paul writing to Timothy, and he tells us that if we do not provide for our loved ones, if we not take care, save so that we can provide for them, we're worse than unbelievers. Or as Solomon tells us, go to the ant. And he tells us, says, go to the ant, O sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief officer or ruler, she makes her prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in the harvest. She prepares and provides. See, Jesus is not telling us there's something wrong with treasures here on earth, but what he's saying is that there's a priority in treasures. Those on earth are fine, but just realize that they can be stolen. If you leave them uncared for, they will rust or they will decay. They can disappear in various and different ways. But the treasures you store up in heaven will be for eternity. There is no end to those treasures. Paul says a very similar thing in writing to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 4 when he says, "So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. And we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." Talking there about our sufferings and our conflicts, but the same principle is still there that Jesus is saying, is that the things here on earth, we can see them, we can use them, we can feel them, and they are valuable to us. But never forget that they are indeed transitory. They're temporary. The things that last forever are the things that we find in heaven. And so where do we put our focus, Jesus is saying? Again, not saying to neglect the things of the world, but don't forget the ultimate focus is on treasures in heaven. Is your treasure where it'll stand the test of time? Where it will not disappear and somebody comes and steals it or other things happen? Is that where your treasure is in life? We need to understand this priority he's talking about. But there's more to it than just that, because he really is asking a question, and this is where these three points kind of blend together. He talks about treasures, then he also quickly goes talking about the eye. And what he's saying in that, or part of what he's saying in that, is with your eye, do you see the value of the treasures in heaven? Do you really see what that is? Does that become a priority in your life? Do you understand that value that is there? Now, if I would take a ring down to a jeweler, and he would look at it, and he would pull out his little glass, perhaps, and he'd look at it, and he'd be able to tell me, is that a diamond or is it a piece of glass? But if you asked me which it is, I could never tell you. I wouldn't have any idea the difference between the two, because I don't have an eye to see that, to understand that. That's what Jesus is asking. Do you see the diamond like I see it? It's nothing more than a piece of glass, or the same as a piece of glass. Or do you see the diamond in treasures in heaven? Do you see the value of putting our stock in those things that cannot be taken away, things that cannot be decayed or can be stolen? Do you see that value? Can you make the difference with your eye in what you see? And he talks about the eye in this way. He talks about it being healthy or bad. He says the healthy eye is really an eye that sees things as they really are, sees beyond just the immediate. The treasures on earth. Sees more than that. And he's talking about spiritual life here. He's talking about spiritual vision for us. Do you see with spiritual vision, or are you limited just to the physical vision? And in this comparison that Jesus uses, even if we just at the physical event, we can see the contrast that's being there. Think about your eye. Is your eye good? Do you have 20/20 vision? Can you see things well, or maybe even corrected 20/20 vision? Or do you have some type of a problem with your eye, some type of disease, and everything you see is very dim and not clear? Jesus makes this comparison here in some very powerful words when he says to us that the eye is the lamp of the body. It is that means by which light comes into the physical body. It is through the eye that we see everything. If we don't have the eyes, we really don't see. You might feel and touch, but that vision is not there if it's not through your eyes. That's the only place that we have that vision. And Jesus brings that out. If your eye is good and healthy, then your life is full of light. You know, in this world, there is a lot of light. And that light allows us to see the beauty that God has created, to see all the colors and all the different aspects of God's creation, and to praise God for those and to give him thanks for those. But that takes spiritual understanding, does it not? To give God the thanks for them. The eye that he's talking about here, who's bad, might still be seeing all those things. But it's seeing those things, but it's seeing them from a perspective that is, look what I can get out of this, or what's in it for me. And never with a thanksgiving toward God. a never acknowledgement that this is what God is. This is a spiritual matter that Jesus is talking about here. And so when he talks about this body, he says, if your eye is bad, if it doesn't let the light in and you don't really see, do you have spiritual vision is the question. Are you able to see spiritually what is going on and what is happening in your life around you? I love the question that Jesus puts at the end of that. And he says, if the light in you is darkness. I have a nice contrast on words there. The light, what's coming into you, if it's light's coming in, but it's dark because you don't see the spiritual aspect of it, how great is that darkness? How great, how deep is that darkness? How blind are you if you cannot see the spiritual world around you? That's a sad status. It's a sad status. It's a status where many, many people are in that condition right now in our world, in our neighborhoods, in our country, around the world. There are thousands and millions of people who may still have eyes and they work fine physically and light's coming in, but they don't really see the reality. That's where the church comes to play. That is our responsibility. One of our responsibilities is to take the word of God and to proclaim to these people the truth of what's really happening. The reality that there is a life beyond this life. There is more than what we have right here. Now again, not taking away from what we have, the treasures we have. Those things can be very helpful and very good for us. God has blessed us in so many ways. In fact, Jesus tells us that our life is an abundant life, and that's not just spiritually, but it is also, he has abundantly provided for us and given to us. That's why part of our worship in each week is what? Bringing back a portion of that which he has given to us, which he's entrusted into our care, and returning it unto him as a matter of thanksgiving for all that he has given us. That's why we have a Thanksgiving service, or we'll have one in 2 weeks. And what we'll be talking about then, and you'll have opportunity then to share things that you're particularly thankful for, specifically maybe in the last year, but not necessarily confined to that. How has God blessed you? How has he taught you and provided for us? We have an opportunity to do that and can do that, but people who don't know Christ can't do that. They can't praise God for the things he's done for them. They cannot acknowledge those things. But our responsibility is to put before them that option. Put before them the truth of the gospel message. To proclaim Jesus Christ to them. Proclaim who Jesus is. Proclaim that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the one who tells us that there is a greater vision than this, who provides that vision for us. And through his death on the cross, if we believe in him, there is not only salvation, but there is this abundant life. There is this light that comes in so that we might see clearly how dark is that darkness that is in those who cannot see. How dark is it? You know, some of us can remember that darkness. We remember that we spent much of our life in that type of a realm. And that we didn't know we were walking around in darkness until the light actually came on and we realized that. But once we have seen the light, we realize how blessed we are of God. And it's a blessing of God that we have to share with other people. We have the privilege of sharing it with other people and telling them about it. Jesus tells us in verse 22 in our text here, he says to us, he says, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. Do you live a life that's full of light? Do you live a life that is full of the light that's now shining forth others? Remember back earlier in chapter 5 of the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus used those illustration where he talked about a city that is set upon a hill and the lights are on from the city, then how you cannot hide it because it's up on the hill. People can see it from miles away. And the second part of that illustration, he said, you don't take a lamp and you light it in your house and then put a bucket over top of it so it gives no light. What good would that do? You don't do that. We light a lamp so that we might see. How full is our vision? How wonderful is the vision when we see what God wants us to see and when we're able to see these things? That's what Jesus meant when he said in John 8:12, he said, I am the light of the world. I am the one who came into the world to give it light. It's really paralleled with some of the other statements that Jesus said. He said, I came into this world to save sinners. That's what it means to have light. To have the light, the spiritual light turned on in their life so that they receive salvation, receive Jesus as the Lord and Savior. It is that message that Jesus sends out as he came forth proclaiming the need for redemption for the fact that the kingdom is before them. But it's also the message that he gives to us. Because not only did Jesus say, I am the light of the world, he tells us that I am sending you as the light of the world. He sends us out as his ambassadors, his witnesses, his servants to the world. We have that privilege of taking light to people who are walking in darkness and telling them about Christ. Now, some are not going to listen. They're not going to believe our message. They may even strike back at us and persecute us or attack us in some way. But that doesn't take away the privilege that we have. See, the privilege that we have is that we have the privilege to be the servants of Almighty God, to be the messengers of Almighty God. It's more than just being someone who's taken a message or telling someone of something that's happened. You get to be the one who testifies for God Almighty and what he has done. His whole plan of salvation that he planned from before the foundation of the world to bring men and women unto salvation, we have the privilege of telling people about it and seeing people respond to it when we do so. That's a great privilege that we have. Sadly, how often is that light within us dimmed? How often is that light that we have to shine before others not shining out? For whatever reason it might be, whether we're fearful of what they might say or may think or may do, or whether we just don't feel comfortable, but we're hurting ourselves. We're depriving ourselves of the great blessings that God has for us. And so when Jesus talks about this light, he talks about it being that of being healthy. When we have spiritual life, we are healthy. And when we're sharing that life, we are healthy by sharing with others. And that moves him right into the next segment of this, where he talks about the two masters. You know, you first read these three things and you can say, well, these aren't really connected at all, but yet they blend right together. We have this about the fact that we are treasures, and our treasure is that which we cherish ourselves, which we now share with other people. But we realize that the problem that is there is that people have a different master. We share it because the Lord Jesus Christ is our master. He is our Savior. He is the one whom now we is our King. He is the head over our church. He is the one whom we are seeking to serve. And so as he has instructed us to go forth and to make disciples of all people or people in all places, we are serving a master, the Lord Jesus Christ. But not everybody has that master. And Jesus ends this little section by saying, no one can serve two different masters. Now, that's true in the contrast of believers and non-believers, as I'm laying out here for, but it also can be true for us if we're not careful. Because we can make that profession of faith in Jesus Christ, and then we can get our priorities out of line. We can forget that the treasures we have on earth are indeed transitory, but the treasures we have in heaven are that which is eternal. We can forget that we are serving the Lord Jesus Christ first, and instead we start acting as if we're serving other people first, even ourselves. We can forget that what we are to pray and what we pray is that the Lord's will be done in our lives, and instead we seek to do our own lives, our own will in our lives. We can lose sight of where we are, and we need to hear these words from Jesus again. You can't serve two masters. You can't have both. One or the other, but not both. And he states it very clearly. Either you will hate the one and love the other. Now, hate might want to keep that in sense of being a relative term. It's not necessarily you're going to despise and detest and try to kill one or the other. But if you're trying to serve two, he said there's going to be one that's going to have priority. There's going to be one that's going to have the main allegiance from you. But only one of them can do that. He says you'll hate the one and love the other, or you will... Or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You see that contrast that's there. You cannot do. When it comes to push and shove, when it comes to the very end, and some a decision has to be made, which way are you going to go? Are you going to follow your ways or God's ways? Are you going to do what you desire or what God has told us to do? Are you going to put God, or have you put God first in your life? Now, that's true for us as individuals. Again, it's true for the world that's out there. Every single person in the world has to make that decision. That's where the gospel message comes into play. Because initially, every one of us, ever since Adam and Eve, Adam as our federal head, sinned in the Garden of Eden, brought sin into the world, every one of us are born into sin. And every one of us born into sin, therefore, have a desire in us to do it our way, to have our way in all things. In fact, Paul, in writing to the church at Rome, starts off his letter to the church at Rome with words about how mankind as a whole have rejected God. Verse 25, for instance, says that man has exchanged the truth about God for a lie and has worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator. Now, that's a statement about idolatry, yes, that we serve creatures, we worship other things, but that creature might be us. We're creatures. It can be us as well. We seek to serve ourselves, to do it our way instead of God's way. How often is that true? In fact, it has been said that every human being is going to worship something, but the question, what is you going to worship? That's another way of saying really what Jesus is saying here. You're going to have a master, but which master is it going to be? And Jesus, in making that statement, and he ends this section by saying you cannot serve both God and money. Now, many of us, probably most of us in this room, probably first learned that the way the King James puts it out, you cannot serve God and mammon. Well, what does mammon mean? Well, it can mean money. It can mean possessions. It can really mean anything else, but it particularly has to do with those things that we treasure in this world. Jesus said, where is your treasure? You cannot serve God and hold to worldly treasures at the same time, or hold to those worldly treasures, neglecting the treasures in heaven. We have to make that choice. I like the definition for mammon or money. I read some time ago was it is the things of this world, or the things that money can buy. Now, all the things of this world do have to do with that. Materialism would be another way of saying that. Which is it that runs our lives and rules over us? See, it's impossible to have both. There comes that time, and there does in every life, which are you going to do? You're going to follow God, or you're not going to follow God? Which way is it going to go? I had a great illustration that I wanted to use with this. Tim stole it this morning, but that's okay. I'm going to use it anyway. If you're in Sunday school, you remember he told about John D. Rockefeller. And the question was, you know, how much is enough, or how much is enough for you to be happy? And he, at that time, was the richest man in the world. I'm going to talk about him a little bit more next week, and I'll give more details there. But he was the richest man in the world. His wealth is just blows your mind when you start thinking about it comparatively what it is today. But his answer was, a little bit more. See, that's the problem with the ways of the world. That's the problem with putting the world as your God, putting your treasure on the things of the world, because they're never enough. They do deteriorate. They get stolen. What do you have to do? You've got to replace them. You've got to have more. You've got to have more. It's never enough. So the question really is, who are you going to serve? Who is it you're going to trust? Who is it you're going to obey? That becomes the issue for each of us in our lives, is what is that important for us? Which do we do? Do we always need a little bit more, or do we have the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you really have the Lord Jesus Christ and love him? Yes, we want to love him more. And we do that, but when we love him more, it just expands our ability to love and to share him more and more with other people. As we learn to do that, and Jesus, as he's teaching us about that, and as he brings us to a head here, he's going to give us a conclusion of how we really do that in a very good way. And that's where we're going to focus next week. How is it that we are able to put him as our master, to have that treasure in heaven and not here on earth, and to make sure that that is the key treasure to us. To summarize it in just one word, whet your appetite for next week is verse 33, where he says, seek ye first the righteousness of God. That's really the summary of it. But what does all that mean? How do we do that? How do we go about that? Remember, 2 weeks ago and last week, we talked about how Jesus in this section here was really addressing the Pharisees, but he didn't use the word Pharisee at that point. He used the word hypocrite. So he's addressing not just that group of people, but all of us who are hypocrites. And sometimes we're all hypocrites, are we not? See, the Pharisees were hypocrites because they knew who God was. They claimed to be God. Their name itself said that they are godly ones. They were the ones who were of God. They were ones who promoted the idea of getting back to the Word of God and trusting the Word of God. And so that was their whole ministry, was to try to tell people to get back to the Word of God. And yet in themselves and in their own ministry, they created their own beliefs and follow their own rules and regulations instead of God's rules and regulations. How often do we do that? We say, yes, Lord, I want to serve you. I want to live for you. I want to follow you. But then we find we do what we want to do instead. We make those decisions as we want to make them instead. We follow our mammon. Our beliefs, our thoughts become priority over God's. Jesus is going to instruct us how to not do that. He's going to do it by talking about where we get anxious. There's a close connection between hypocrisy and anxiety. And we'll see that next week as we look at it a little bit more. But this morning I want to conclude just with these last two statements, and going back to what Jesus has said when he said that if the light of God is shining in you, if it is what is coming into your life and is what's really dominating in your life, it is that which is making your whole body full of light. You have that eternal light within you. And then the fact that we are to take that light and to shine it forth so others might see. We have that privilege of sharing the gospel with others. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege that we have to serve you, to live for you, to know you as our Lord and as our Savior. We thank you, Father, for the opportunities that you give to us, really every day, every week, as we live this life to tell people about Jesus. We pray that you will make us alert to those opportunities so that we will indeed have that opportunity to open our mouths and to proclaim you. But not only, Father, make us alert to them, but we pray that you will give us the boldness to declare the truth of your word in all things. We pray this in Jesus' name.